Heya! Welcome to the Diary on One podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Cool? Pretty much. After this long wait of me trying to get this specific person on this podcast, I'm very excited to have them. And we all know, and if you didn't know, I'm an entrepreneur, and one of my favorite things is to get other entrepreneurs on this podcast just to learn about their work, what they're doing. If it's somebody not from Zambia, like how does that entrepreneurship look like in your country? How's the ecosystem? That type of thing. With that being said, today's guest is somebody I have been looking forward to get on this podcast, like I mentioned earlier, and learn about his work. I think he's amazing and he does amazing work, but I really want to just pick on his brain. So with that being said, welcome today's guest as Water. Hi, Water.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for saying yes.
I mean, it's been a month and a half plus in the making, so it was only right.
I know, right? Like it's yeah. I have no excuse, but yeah. I just know life happened, and I was talking to somebody earlier today. I said the last 3 months feels like a year for me. Because I have never had to do so much in 3 months.
Wow. I mean, yes. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, right? An idle mind is the devil's workplace, so.
You reminded me of my friend Bella. She's always the devil's advocate. So, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, and I'm like really, maybe because most of the time I'm traveling more. But yeah, I'm grateful that I started the year that way. Hope it ends, okay. But yeah, I'm tired. So how are you doing in general?
I'm okay. I've been okay. Yeah. I don't know. This sounds like a question thing at a therapist, you know?
I just started with the questions and you're already thinking that. What? Imagine when I get into them.
into the deep question.
I don't even think. Don't think about it as like. And it's okay to just say you're fine, to be honest. There's no hidden meaning behind how you're doing.
Okay. Literally. Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah. Like it's just me asking how you are. But yeah, it's very interesting how. Words can mean different things in different scenarios.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and when you're in business, it's how do you become a very effective and efficient communicator? Because you want to be very effective, efficient and effective. So things are done and people don't take that you're communicating something different. So when you have... How long have you been an entrepreneur, by the way? Or a businessman?
I've been in business for the last I've been in business for the last four years or so, 4.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'd say informally, you know, as kids we used to trade this and that for I'm not sure for as long as you know as I can remember.
What was your first trade business?
As a kid. I'm not sure I can talk about that on it, but like.
Let me talk about mine.
I remember in high school, I went to school with a certain amount of pocket money.
Yeah.
And for some reason, kids always thought it was a good idea. I know, like, it doesn't sound great now that I think back. To it, but it's a fact. Kids, for some reason, thought I had like an infinite amount of money to lend out or to loan out to people. So kids that ran out of pocket money would always come to me and ask for pocket money. And so I created a system where I would lend out money to kids, and they would give it back with like a small amount of interest, and I'd repeat the cycle with different. And the funny thing is, there was never a time where I went out looking for. People to loan money to. they just all somehow, somewhere knew to come to me, you know. So that was like my first actual business. So I remember I like made quite a good amount of money in high school.
That's so smart.
Yeah. you can't get away with that right now, like, you know, trading that way now. But
as a kid, yeah, you can. If you're in high school and you're loaning out money to your fellow pupils, you can get away with it. As a kid, you can. I don't think as an adult you can. But I was able
to buy a phone with that money.
That's so smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, I wasn't that smart. It's relative. I'm sure you were. No. You know what? You had a lending institution when you were a kid. And you know how many people are making money out of fintechs now or lending institutions? And you did as a kid?
Of course. You know, sometimes I think back to it and I'm like, how could I, you know, reinterpolate that in my real life now? But like, it's crazy. I don't think you can formalize that.
No, they have. Like, it has systems. It has regulations.
Of course. I'm not sure I could make it work with everything I've got going on now, though. So.
Yeah, and I also think it's not for the faint-hearted.
right. Yeah.
I hear it has a lot of money, but I also hear it's not like the easiest thing to get into.
Right. The risk involved is, I'm not pretty sure. It's ridiculous. I'm not sure I would advocate for that right now.
Oh, that's interesting. Now I want to know what your second business was. Like, because if you had that as a first business, dang. All right. That's interesting. What was your second business?
My second business was, I'm not sure I would say I took this as seriously as possible, but like I taught myself how to design websites after high school. And so I had designed a website back in the day, and I wanted to trade clothing and have a personal clothing brand, more or less. Yeah, so we called it Discreet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Discreet Clothing or something like that. And it didn't go very far. I remember my first few sales were, I made losses, what seemed like serious losses to me at the time anyway, because, you know, I wasn't familiar with certain amounts of money. And what happened was we built this website and we announced the website launch, and people were able to purchase goods through the website, so clothing, articles of clothing. And this one girl had realized that we had priced a certain shoe 100% below its actual value accidentally. So say instead of pricing it at X amount, we accidentally priced it at 100%, or maybe 100% is an exaggeration, but like maybe 70%, 80% below its actual value. What? Yeah. And she ordered five pairs. Five to seven pairs. And then we didn't realize until maybe 2 days later what the anomaly was. We thought we were making sales.
Yeah.
Like great sales. Yeah. But we didn't realize, like, it wasn't adding up until maybe a few other people ordered. And then we had to shut down the website. Because at that point, it was like, okay, now we're automatically going to lose out on, you know, whatever stock we have because of this anomaly. And we had to deliver the product still, you know, for the sake of reputation. But yeah, I wasn't in love with that business.
I like that you used the term, I wasn't in love with that business.
Yeah.
I only hear that when I say, oh, I'm in love with somebody. But anyway, I am learning something about you in this moment, is that you're actually an outlier. Because if you look back to your high school, you started a business. A loaning company, let's call it a loaning business, where you would loan out your pocket change, your pocket money.
Right.
And how did you even think of adding interest is beyond me. Like, Well, that's a story for another day. yeah, you did that. Then you taught yourself a skill to create websites.
Mm-hmm.
Again, after high school, to start a clothing company or a merchandise business where you sell different merchandises. And yeah, it's so interesting how, I would say on average, maybe you were like between 16 to 20, you did all that.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, I think it's just something that comes with a deep desire to want to learn, I guess, you know, a desire to want to figure things out for yourself and to explore what may be uncharted territories to you and to your peers. So it's definitely something that was interesting. Like I said, it was exciting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't driven necessarily by the idea of money. So I think that's what made it very enjoyable, because there was not much to grieve over, even when those businesses mm-hmm. didn't work out or take off.
Yeah, that's very fascinating. I'm curious to know, when did you learn that you wanted to become a business owner?
That's a good question. I remember in final year of high school, I remember being really ambitious at the time, but I had no idea what I wanted to do. But I do know one thing for a fact, is that I don't think I can recall a time where I've ever wanted to work for someone, ever. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's my truth.
Oh, no, that's me.
Right. So you can relate. And
yeah.
I can't recall a period in time where I ever had a desire to work for another institution. Even though I have, it didn't last long. But I had an innate desire to do something of my own. I had no idea what it was going to be until 2021, when at the time I was working for another company as well, a great company. It was run by, and I think it's still run by, great people. But I quickly learned that I wanted to do my own thing in 2021, July, August 2021. I started to seriously dislike the idea of working for the company that I was working for. And it had nothing to do with the company itself. It was just me. It didn't feel fulfilling for me. And yeah, by August 2021, I had decided that from that point moving onwards, I was going to work for myself. I was going to figure everything out on my own. And yeah, here we are.
And I remember the period in like 2021, because that mm-hmm. is like the COVID period. So, wow.
All right.
I think most countries are going through a recession. We're trying to get people to get back to work. Yeah, we just don't even know what we're doing. We're isolated. Most of us mm-hmm. are lonely. We don't know what we want to do with our lives. How did you get to a point of like taking a leap on yourself and saying, hey, as much as this is great here, I just think I'll do better on my own?
If you ask me, from the outside looking in, I think retrospectively, It was a really cool decision, but I think it was definitely an uninformed decision at the time. Like I said, I think I make a lot of choices based off of passion, desire, and I don't associate a lot of these decisions with finances. So at the time, if I look back now, it may have been a stupid decision in the sense that, mind my language, in the sense that I had no guidance when I was coming into like the business realm, you know, contrary to what I think a lot of people in my country think. I think the insinuation is that I've probably had a ridiculous amount of guidance and a holding hand, maybe even financially. But it was passion driven. So I did what I had to do, and I didn't care what's the repercussions were. I just believed in myself, and Yeah, so I don't think it was an informed decision to answer your question. I don't think I knew much of what I was doing. We just went ahead and then followed what seemed to be the right thing at the time.
I think that's so interesting because, yeah, contrary to me is I am easing into the realm of entrepreneurship and I have a lot of guidance. And I stress my needs very hard on most days. I'm always like, damn, I really did say I don't want a job and I want to do this on my own. So I can imagine not having people guide you through it, not having people walk you through certain things that you, certain mistakes you wouldn't have made if you had somebody with you just saying, yeah, don't do that.
Right.
Did you know what business... when you were quitting, did you know what business you're going to get into?
1,000%. 1,000%, yeah.
At least you're sure of one thing.
Without a doubt. When I, August 2021, I knew I wanted to sell cars. I knew I wanted to get into the business of importing and selling and importation and retail of high-end vehicles. And I knew right away. I didn't know how. I just knew, you know. So I had a. I've always had a ridiculous passion for vehicles, for motor and aero engineering. So you know, it just made sense to me at the time. And yeah, by the time we got to August 30th, I knew exactly what I was going to be doing.
I'm impressed. Okay, I'm always impressed. But anyway. So you see, one of my favorite books is by Napoleon Hill, which is Think and Grow Rich, right? It's saying that all you need is faith and desire. Like those are like one of the first few chapters, right? Desire is when you have this deep desire of you wanting to do something, you kind of have to burn all bridges. In the sense that quitting your job and saying there's no return here, that you are forced to think, I really have to make it. Because when you're in between, there's a safety net. Like, oh, if I don't make it here, if I don't make it, I still have a job, right?
Right, yeah, for sure.
But when you have no job and you're struggling financially or you're just struggling in general, you have no choice but to go with it. And just faith is just having faith that, hey, everything will work out eventually. I know you said you had no guidance or help. I don't know about the help, but you'd had no guidance in any way. Before making the decision, did you have a conversation with someone, your parents,
your brothers, your cousins? Funny enough, when I made that decision, I didn't consult anyone besides the secretary at the company that I worked for. And the consultation that I did with her was I asked her which one of three names sounded best for a car company. And she helped me pick Bel Air. And then that same evening, I asked another individual who was my age and I asked him which one of three names that I had shortlisted sounded the best for a premium car company, and he picked Bel Air as well. So to me, that's the only consulting that I ever did with anyone regarding the company prior. Right after that, I went and did all the necessary registrations and whatever because I had decided. And one thing I think one thing about me when I was younger is that I was quite a bit hard-headed. I know you will say, how much younger could you be? It was just a number of years ago, but you could learn a lot of it. Right? Yeah, but so wow. The thing is, I've definitely always been an individual that if I want something and I'm really passionate about it, sometimes I don't consult because I don't want people to discourage me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think it's really important to find out what people think about certain things, but I knew my parents weren't going to support that. I knew... it just didn't make sense, like, for me to speak to anyone about it just for them to tell me why it potentially couldn't work. So I just went and did it, you know? And it took, even then, it took 2021, it took up until last year, 2024, for me to be on the exact same page with my parents regarding, like, my business activities, you know? 3 years.
Yeah.
And even then, it was only when they started to see, I would assume, I won't speak on their behalf, but I would assume, because I know them, I would assume that it was only because they started to see results that were undeniable, you know? Yeah. Where then it's like, okay, what are we going to tell him, you know? Yeah.
No, I think I'm, like, in the same... I'm hard-headed as well. Like, I'm, like, in the same situation, maybe? Mm. But my family is more loving. Maybe I'm a girl. That could be it. Or they're just...
Right. Like,
yeah, right, probably. Right. That's what I tell myself. Like, they love me so much. But anyway, when I made the decision that I wasn't going to get a... I was going to take a gap year. So what that meant for me is I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to live off my family.
Right.
Or not. Actually, I don't even live off them. But I'm going to do a few works there and then to just learn more about what I... and get clarity of the business I want to build for myself, right? And I remember having so many conversations about why everybody did not accept my decision. That I reached a point where I cut access. Like, I like this thing, like, access denied. No one could reach me. Stay, so you only find me. You only see me when you come home. Because when you call, I won't pick up. Because then we would have to go about why you're not getting formal employment and this and that. Right. I still think they think I should get formal employment. But I'm always very skeptical about it for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very interesting that... Oh, one of my uncles told me that, oh, we're just waiting for you to get over it.
Wow.
Yes. When I was in Livingston, they were like, oh, no, we're literally just waiting for you to say, oh, I'm ready to get a job now. Can you help me get a
job? Right.
Which is so interesting.
I think you need to... There's something really beautiful about being able to romanticize something that other people can't conceive. Right. And it's very easy for the lack of people being able to identify with your vision and your ambition. It's very easy for you to get influenced by those external factors. Yeah. It's very easy for you to ever so often feel as though you're not doing anything sensible with your life. But my advice is continue to romanticize, you know. Those ideas have been instilled in your heart for a reason, you know, and you can never go wrong because look, you could get formally employed, but as long as you're pursuing something that fulfills your heart, I think that's what beats that, you know, it's a pinnacle.
And I like that. I just feel like you quoted Napoleon Hill right there, but obsessive books. I joke about this a lot because I'm an access given and access denied person, right? Certain people I always have to talk to, like my grandmother, my mother, my dad, just to check in, right? I'm their child after all. But my dad is a business person, so when my dad does casually ask, do you have a job? I'm like, no, I don't. Okay, moving on. So now when I have conversations with my dad, we have business connections. Right? Because I'm just like, I'm not doing that. And my dad is very petty. So my dad would laugh and say, hey, you all went to very expensive universities. My dad is not formally educated. You guys went to very expensive universities and they'll still make more money than you.
Wow.
That is very petty.
Yeah, sounds for sure like an African dad, yeah.
I agree. They really would pay you that much after we paid this much for school. So my dad is very chilled like that. I think my mom has seen my life evolve over the years, and I've been very strategic on how I have positioned myself. So like my mom has seen me evolve every year. Like when I would, someone, my mom always says as well to say, you're a type of person that says, I want that. And you get it. Like, I want to travel to this country. And you travel there. And
right.
It doesn't matter how long it takes you. So my mom somehow has been in the front row seat of listening to me be a little bit delusional about my life.
Right.
Which I'm very grateful for. I think it's always the other family members that have like so much pressure. And they're like, why are you not doing that? I'm doing that. And I always say, I love you so much. I'm just not going to do that. Which is always something interesting. I have so curious to know. Do you have siblings?
Yes, I do.
First born, middle child, last born.
I'm the second born of many, many, many children. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I come from a family, from a relatively big family. I think it's about 7, 8 kids, you know. So I'm the second born. And yeah, it's a football squad for sure.
Oh, no. My family is more extended. Don't worry.
For real?
Yeah. Wow. I grew up in a household of like 20 because I was raised by my grandparents. Yes.
Wow.
So when I say I can navigate my way through a big crowd,
quite literally.
Early. Yes. Literally. And both sides, my parents are not married. So my dad's side of the family is also very big. So also them, it's like, I don't even know all the aunties and uncles, but I know the favorites. So you're relatively okay. It will get interesting when you all have kids. So it's like, if you all have 2 kids to 7, that's like 14. If you have 3, 21. It's interesting.
Yeah, Uncle Judy's are going to be crazy.
And then you all have to know your nieces and nephews.
Right. It's going to be hectic.
I was asking that question because I feel like you're such a risk taker, right? Like you're such a risk taker. Sure. And when you look at it in birth order, surprisingly, I'm a firstborn. I just don't care that I'm a firstborn. So that the birth order never gets to me. But I've noticed that the birth order with others is the firstborn is more risk adverse. They need to get a job so they could be the next in kin to support their siblings.
Right.
The second ones, no one really cares about the middle children. The last born is like, everybody's grown, so they think as if you're also an adult, so your parents also don't pay attention to you. That type of thing. So it's very... Yeah, I was just trying to see if science was right, but I don't know if it's right with you, which is also okay.
In terms of like...
the birth order, like the risk. So that it's always said that the middle child is not as much as a risk taker as the last child. The first one is risk averse.
I think by far, based off of the activities that I've indulged in regarding business and I think by far it would not be a stretch to say that, forget my siblings, like my family in general.
Yeah.
I think my parents have had near heart attack experiences just watching me try to, you know, maneuver the business realm. I'm telling you, like, so like the amount of risks you have to take, you can imagine, like,
yeah.
It's not easy. It's not a joke. So I mean, my older brother, I think he's more calculated. I think my younger brothers are a lot more calculated. My risk is calculated as well, right? But like, they're not entrepreneurs, you know. So you can imagine the amount of risk that's associated when you are someone that's in the world of entrepreneurship, you know.
Yeah, I always ask if I am sober enough for that. But yes, I still do it anyway. No, I get it. And that's why the birth order doesn't apply to you because, again, you're an outlier. You started young. You probably said testing the waters young. You tested your ambition young. So when, and you tested the three, right? Like entrepreneurship has the three. Like the three of not being sure. The panic attacks, anxiety of not knowing what to happen next, and you're just having faith that it all works out. Yeah, like you sometimes, tested that. Yeah, please go on.
I was going to say sometimes feeling as though you're on track, not knowing you're going in the worst direction possible.
I don't even know why we do that on purpose. But anyway, I think because you tested that and also tested the other side of having a calm, stable life, and you're like, I think I like the three or more.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's for sure.
Yeah, like I prefer the three. Like as much as I love this more. And yeah, which is okay. I think that's me too. Like I worked through high school. No, I worked through university. And I said that would be boring if I do it every day.
Right. No, I definitely can resonate with where you're coming from. I think it becomes difficult to try to live a normal life when you get hooked on what you call the thrill of entrepreneurship. You know, it's very difficult. It's not easy to relate with people, even in my friend groups, to be honest. I tend to speak quite a different language, in the sense that, you know, everyone is working in some sort of corporation, in a bank, or this or that, and people are climbing up the corporate ladder. And when you do come and sit down and discuss your business ideas, people are very timid. People are not very risky with their money. They're not very they're not open to seeking the possibilities. And so even when you do discuss when I discuss my experiences, some of these people look at me like I'm crazy, you know. But it's part of the game.
Yeah, it's part of the game. And that's the game of entrepreneurship or just being in business, because I think it's fun. Crazy. But I think it's fun. I think I always say when I get my business very high up there, I think I'll start another business just for the thrill.
Mm.
Just for the thrill of it all, I would start another business because I think I like the thrill. That's more me. I'm not. Right. I love the more ambiguous life than the one set on. Okay, just in business anyway. But yeah.
All right. And
No, please go on. No, you're about to say
something. I was going to ask what's the trade environment like for young entrepreneurs in your country?
Interesting. Huh.
Is it favorable?
It is favorable. I think this is me filtering my words. I think it's interesting. How do I politely say a lot of stuff? I think it's interesting because the third time I've said that.
Sounds like there's a lot of hidden meaning behind it.
I can tell you afterwards. But to answer your question, there's so much opportunity. You just kind of have to be affiliated or acquainted to certain people for you to have access to that opportunity. You kind of have to be in certain spaces and circles, which I normally just literally avoid for certain reasons. So in any way, it's very hard to navigate as someone starting up, because let's say we have the 1% of the businesses doing great, and you can't even have access to that 1% because they don't want you to know what their actual business deals are. So it's like, if I want to be mentored by a business person in Zambia or Lusaka, to be specific, I really have to know somebody that knows somebody and that's not somebody. Yeah, I think it's everywhere. So I just,
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy. There's a lot of, you have to figure things out for yourself, for sure.
Yeah. And people only, which I also understand, I always say this to people, I understand and respect it. People only want to be acquainted when you reach a certain level of status and, a certain level of status, actually.
Right.
So,
for sure.
It means if you, from zero to that level of status, you have to figure it out on your own. But I'm so grateful that I have really good mentors who mentor me, and I really do have, like, a supportive circle of friends, and I shoot my shot in a few times, but I'm very calculating to what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing to do, and also just understanding that, hey, if people want to navigate life this way, it's fine. I just don't know if I want to play this game now, and if I want to play this game, which is a networking game, how best do I play it is always my question. Like, oh, how best do I navigate this? Or do I just let it sit there for a while and not navigate it? So I think I've been letting a lot of things sit there and do my thing. So, because it's easy for them to approach you than for you to approach them. Because when you approach them, it looks like you're grooving or begging. But when they come to you, that's like, oh yeah, you see value. So you actually respect my time and you do this and that. So yeah, again, it's very interesting. I don't talk about it a lot. But I'm just like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But yeah, I'm learning a lot, I think. And I'm avoiding it. So yeah, maybe you come back to haunt me.
You live and you learn. You live and you learn.
Yeah, and certain lessons are just best left for the future sometimes.
Right.
Maybe when you have like a better capacity to handle that lesson.
That is true.
To approach it, yeah.
I agree.
So let's talk about your business. So you decided to quit and start get into the car industry, and specifically high-end cars, right? So that's retail. Was it rent? Is rental part of it?
Not at the moment. I'm not sure how much I want to share regarding our plans for that or...
No, you don't have to.
Yeah, but like, and not at the moment. Let me leave it at that. Mm-hmm.
So when you were getting into that, like, did you have a business partner lined up, or you were just like, I'm going to get into this alone?
Yeah, on my own. I think one thing about me, I'm not great at, I feel like people can slow you down, you know? I'm really good at learning people. I'm really good at networking, and so one thing about me, I can read people. I can read psychological impacts on business, and you can only go so far when you're working with people that don't share the exact same ideologies as you, right? So, I knew at a young age that I didn't want to work with anyone. I wanted it to be my brainchild. I wanted to interpolate my ideas to the public the way I wanted to do it, without any interruptions. And so, yeah, it wasn't an option for me to work with anyone at the time.
So how did you navigate everything from... I don't think this... The getting the company registered and everything was a hard part. But what do you think was like one of your hardest things to navigate when starting the business?
So I knew from the get-go that I wasn't going to have the capital required to sell or import these vehicles on my own. And so it was definitely trying to figure out how I could... make money, the money required to operate. But it didn't take long for me to realize that I could, at the time, I could have operated based off of importation on demand activity, right? So when people wanted to bring in a vehicle, we would do that and take care of all the logistics and clearance, and we would have our fees attached to the shipping, the landed cost of the vehicles. And so that was one way to make money. Another way was if people were selling cars locally or sourcing vehicles locally, we provided those services. And the thing is with cars, the money, I'm not sure about, I'll speak for Malawi, the money, it's decent. So even if you're selling as a third party individual, you can make enough money to start doing something sensible. So I think one of the challenges I did face at the time definitely was gaining the trust of individuals in order for me to deal with them. And because these are high value goods, right? And I won't say that was the hardest thing in the world, to be honest. I'm lucky. I'm fortunate to have always banked on my father's name. I think it makes it very easy for people to identify an individual that they think they can work with. But other than that, I think another challenge I definitely faced was frequency, because Malawi is not not in the best state, right? And it's been in a declining state for the last 4.5 years, 5 years now. So every time I do find my footing, every time I have I've secured a promising amount of business on the table, you know, just like any other business in the country, we're shocked by the news of, you know, a declining economy. So it's just an ever uphill battle in this country, you know, especially as a young entrepreneur. It's very difficult.
I think that's what's happening in Zambia as well, because, it keeps getting down, like the economy keeps declining. And also, I think the weather patterns just keep evolving. So there's always a new natural disaster. It could be a drought, it could be a flood. So it's always something going on that is always shifting resources towards it. It is in natural disasters that everything could just go downhill most of the time. But I always think that in every challenge is always an opportunity. So what opportunity did you see the downhill of the economy?
Well, for one, less people are willing to trade. As many people as possible sell vehicles in any country. Even if you don't identify as a dealership, you have a lot of individuals that sell vehicles on a sole trader basis, you know. So one thing that I still do see as an opportunity and an ever-growing opportunity is that it becomes very expensive to deal with premium vehicles, whether you're sourcing, whether you're importing on behalf of a customer, whatever the case, it becomes very difficult because they're extremely expensive in our country. And what that means is less and less people deal with such vehicles on a frequent basis. You know, less and less people want to get their hands on those vehicles in the markets and trade those goods in particular. More people focus on mass market vehicles, such as low end and, you know, mid end vehicles. And so the saturation is much lower when it comes to premium vehicles, so to speak. So it just means if you are trading in that playing field, there's quite a lot of room for you to, you know, stretch your arms. There's more revenue to collect as opposed to if you're rubbing shoulders with every Jim and Jack in the industry. I think that's definitely one of the things that I see as a, you know, a plus side to some of the economical challenges we've had in Malawi. Also, another thing I'd like to say, I don't know of many it's definitely very turbulent to operate in these business environments. So I don't know of many young institutions, young-led institutions that are identified across all markets in the automotive industry in Malawi, particularly when you speak of premium automotive trade in Malawi. So being one of the people that can be identified as someone that trades with premium automotive products in such turbulent times, obviously a young figure, I think it allows you to stand out quite a bit. I'm in no means claiming to trade at the financial level that a lot of the people that, you know, are at the helm of the industry trade in or at, but I'm definitely very identifiable by a lot of people. So I think that's a good thing.
And yeah, I always say this to people, and if you can bank on your parents' name, I do that all the time. Please do it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there's always this shame associated to relying on your family name. Mm-hmm. But I'm living proof that it got me out of a lot of trouble. Like, I was a troubled child, so I was always in trouble. So just having a name that would save me out of trouble. And I learned that I could do anything and get away with it. And
who right. didn't
care that much? We're a lot of kids. So yeah, it's interesting. What do you think is your marketing strategy? Like, what's your actual marketing strategy? Not what do you think, what's your marketing strategy?
Right. So we take part in a lot of different initiatives that I think, first of all, because we cater to high to opulent clientele, mm-hmm. if I could phrase it that way, and institutions as well, what happens is we have to be selective about how we market in order to, you know, use our resources the right way. So we don't necessarily indulge in mass marketing on a frequent basis. We show up in spaces that, you know, are relevant to the activities that we're partaking in. We on an annual basis now, we carry out CSR initiatives with institutions such as high schools and primary schools, where the opulent, you know, send their children. We make our presence known in such spaces. So we take care of things such as children's sports tournaments. We're present in such. We're also present in career talks across a number of, I'd say a majority of all the top schools, the high schools in Malawi. We also recently launched a show that we call Cruise Control, where we sit down with some of the most prominent business and corporate minds in the country by far. And yeah, so, you know, we try to think outside the box. We try not to be conventional. We don't knock down conventional marketing strategy methods, but then we're not rushing to get every billboard in town and put a poster of a car, you know, across the cities. So we try to think outside the box. The people that have money to buy these cars, we try to look at where they network and create a presence there. We try to look at, you know, just methods that are absolutely relevant to the manner in which we sell vehicles.
So I love the way that I love the strategy. I love that you work with the children and do career guidance talks. I am for career guidance talks on any day, because I feel like right. that's something that is underrated a lot. Yeah. And yeah. we only see the importance when we're out in the world. I'm like, well, I wish I had more guidance. So it's, yeah, I like the strategy, honestly. I'm probably going to add it to mine. Thank you so much.
by all means.
I'll give you a carrot. When you look back on your journey of being a businessman, I would say over 5 years, right?
Right.
What lessons and advice would you have for somebody setting up a business? Could be in Zambia, could be in Malawi, could be anywhere in the world.
Right. This might sound a bit impartial, but I think people will always have a higher likelihood of succeeding in whatever field that they do pursue if they are passionate about something that is in line with the business that they're doing. So, for example, I'm passionate about vehicles in general, and I sell vehicles. There's more business activities that we will announce further on in the year that I can't disclose at this moment. But if someone is passionate about sports, it only makes sense that they go and try their hand at some sort of athletic discipline, you know? So what I'm trying to get at is I think young people should definitely try to soul search and figure out what it is that they're passionate about and see if there's a way for them to monetize their passions. And they will definitely have much better luck at achieving whatever it is they're trying to achieve than someone that does it for the sake of, you know, getting a penny at the end of the day. I think one thing I would definitely advise the youth in particular is to not be afraid of taking risks, particularly at a young age. You have nothing to lose. There's only so much you have to lose. I think the last thing you should be afraid of losing at a young age is money while trying to pursue something that seems worthwhile. Money, in my opinion, this may sound impartial, but I think money comes, it goes, it will continue to come and go depending on, you know, what you do with your business interests. If you take calculated risks, you're more likely to succeed in whatever it is that you're doing. So don't be careless and take risks for the sake of taking risks just because someone that you've never met has told you so, you know. But in everything that you do, you know, consult, do research, don't make emotional decisions in business. Extremely important. So that's something that I learned maybe after quite a lot of time had passed. Don't make emotionally driven decisions in business ever. Associate yourself with the right people. Protect your business at all costs. Do not let people in. Don't let everyone in. Learn to go to a party, socialize, and learn that the people you're partying with, okay, the people you're partying with don't always need to know or have a say on your business. Learn to disassociate. One thing I've learned is that when I started my business, I think for the longest time, people always looked at me with a side eye because it didn't make sense to them that we could all be in the same room, but then I'm now speaking of potentially selling cars. Didn't make sense. So it was like, what does this guy think he's talking about? What does he think he's doing? And so people rushed to say, if that succeeds, it's his dad. His dad is behind it. His dad is financing it. His family. Like, even till today, like, I'll get someone that doesn't know me well, and they'll say, they'll insinuate that my dad has something to do with it, you know? Not knowing that my dad was one of the first people to, you know, to encourage me to pursue other things, let me put it that way, you know. And I'm grateful that he supports me morally and with a lot of wise advice these days. But I really urge young people to protect their businesses in the sense that they don't have to conceal everything with their friends, with family. They don't have to go and share information about what they're doing with people that don't need to know. because that can really derail your momentum.
I'm so curious, Walter. Who's your dad? Now I don't know. What do they already know? You might as well just kind of explain it to me so I can connect the dots.
Right. So in Malawi, my dad, we share the same name, firstly.
Obviously. Obviously, so, Walter. I know that.
Yeah, we share the same name. He's someone that had led our football fraternity for, I think, 19 years. The Football Association of Malawi as its president for the last, I think, 19 years up until 2023. He has also led various institutional positions, such as in FIFA. He was a FIFA council member, executive council member, who worked alongside the FIFA president, first in Malawi, a few years ago. He's currently serving as a member of the Confederation of African Football, as well as the Council of Southern African Football Associations as an executive member. So board member level through a vast span of his career. He also worked for ILOVO. I'm not sure if you have ILOVO in Zambia. I'm sure you do.
I don't pay attention to
the little
stuff, Walter, but please go on.
So he through various corporations and organizations, he's worked at C-suite level for a long time. So I think, you know, leading football, what that does is you become identified. Because it's football, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I actually, so when I was trying to get to know you, because there's nothing about you, by the way, I kept finding it food, and it was in football. So I don't understand. So I'm like, okay, this is normal. Yeah, in my head, I was like, this is normal. But yeah, this happened to me because I was trying to get information on you and there was nothing. Bro, your dad is everywhere. If that's your dad, he is everywhere. I just felt shy to ask you.
Right.
Who's this man I keep finding? But I remember recently, I was like, I give up.
Yeah, we're in the shadows. We are comfortably in the shadows, you know.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, I love writing on family name. And I think a lot of people were like, why would you want to do that? Like, okay, so I'm the type of girl that likes to play dumb. I don't like people to think I'm smart. So, the last 10 years, no one ever thought I was smart. Literally, people don't even know I have a degree. Funny, right? And it's, that's how dumb I act. It's so much fun when people think you're dumb in life.
Right.
Trust me. So, I have played that game, and I love being in the shadows of my family. So, my grandfather was also very known in my hometown. But yeah, like whoever is doing the most and they get to kind of overshadow you, I love it. I thrive at it because hopefully no one knows me, which is a lie. People know me now, but I'm like, hopefully you don't know me. But I enjoy it. Like a lot of people be like, you don't want to make a name for yourself. I'm like, my name is good enough for all of us. Which is good. I mean, it's okay if they think your dad did it. Like, does that bruise your ego that they think that way?
I'm not sure. I don't think about it, to be honest. I think in the beginning, when I started the company, I definitely didn't like the idea of that because, like I said, it's something that really was... It's something that I was passionate about and... It kind of hurt my feelings at some point for people to associate my passion and my hard work with someone else, completely credited to, you know, simply because maybe they have the resources to pull it off. It makes sense to them. It hurt my feelings in the beginning. But I did, in 2022, I did come across someone that made me realize that it really didn't matter, you know. as of today, I don't care. I'm not sure I have an opinion on that, you know? It's fine, because, like, I think what it is if people assume such, it kind of, it looks like you're doing a good job, I guess, if people associate you with, and your work with someone that's done really well for themselves. You must be doing something right.
Yeah. And again, yeah, I'm the type that's just like, okay, I'll pass the message.
I'll right.
I would let the person know, like, hey, again, I never like to be I never think I'm great. So it's, I know I'm great. I just never seek the validation, which is interesting. Well, hi, if you, hey, if you can write on your dad's name to get things done, it's good for you, to be honest. I think, anyway, that's my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
So, Water, I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Okay. I don't know. I'm curious. Of all the people that you've interviewed and everyone that you've spoken with, who, you don't have to disclose who, based on name, but based maybe on country, you know, who do you think has inspired you the most, and who do you think ignited something in you and really pushed you, you know, to dig deeper within yourself?
Interesting.
You don't have to say by name, you know.
Okay. I like to mention names. But I'm kind of thinking based by country. I have a few people. I like to have my friends on the podcast. These are friends I went to the United States with. I think those inspire me a lot. When I had this idea and needed assurance, I texted my friends. And because I got rejected for something, so I texted my friends and said, oh, because I got rejected for that, I want to start the podcast. And it was like, when people are in it for you, yeah, those are like my friends in the world. So yeah, they inspire me. And I think my first episode was with one of my friends, Bella. And we kind of redid something we did in America. We did like night game night kind of thing where we're like seated on the floor and we're trying to figure things out. So we kind of did an episode on that. And surprisingly, that's like my favorite thing. It's like, so start with why episode. So it's like the first episode, the everything was horrible. So the, I did not know what I was doing. The sound was bad with the podcast. Like everything was horrible, but it's such an amazing episode because she's like an, she's the one I said, she's a black, the devil's advocate. Yeah. So that was one of my favorite things, just having my friends. And also something about the podcast when it comes to conversation is, as much as I like having you guys here, I actually enjoy when I bring my friends on, because it's very
right.
It's people that know me, people that match my energy.
Right.
So a lot of times people don't match my energy, so I kind of have to like calm myself, which is good, to be honest. But when it's my friend, I'm like, I'm going to collect stories of us for the next 10 years, and then we can look back, and then our kids can listen to them and get, we can brag about it to our kids, we can brag about it to our nieces. Like that type of energy is the energy I get. So one of my other favorite episodes is, it's an episode we're releasing next week with my friend Mpulukeni. I think she inspires me to kind of be better as well. We have raw conversations about life, relationships, people. She's a coach and she's in South Africa. So yeah, I think, oh, look at me, I have another meeting. Yeah, I think I think that's me. Like I love it, and yeah, it's that. Like yeah. Okay. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, for sure. That's lovely.
I didn't expect it. It made me think. I was expecting something personal because I could navigate out of it.
Yeah. No, I was definitely curious because, you know, you end up speaking with a lot of people, and getting to know a lot of people. So I'm just, you tend to have what some would deem a fan favorite, and then, you know, I was just keen to what stimulated your mind in terms of the conversations you've had with people.
Do I have a fan favorite? Oh yeah, one. I have a crush on this guy. He's a very renowned photographer in Zambia. Yeah, well, that's my favorite. He knows me? It. He knows
you, you had a chat with him?
Yes, I had him on the podcast. I met him twice. And he's a favorite. He's a fan favorite. He dropped jeans. Now I'm not even blushing. But he knows that I am such a fan. If I meet him, I'm like, bro. And I think I like that relationship with him. And I always tell him that, you know how we always associate having a crush on somebody as romantic, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't think about it in the other realm, that you can actually like somebody, have a crush on them because of the way they think and the way they're navigating life, their work. Like, you could just really like somebody and it has nothing to do with romance. And that's like me and him. He knows that I love you so much because your work inspires me and this and that. If I can get him back on the podcast... Yes. I'll try talking him into it again. But like, thanks for reminding me about him. He's a favorite. I don't even shy away from it. I'm like, I hope you guys know he's my favorite.
Yeah.
he's a fan favorite. I love it. I won't stop talking about him, so I'm gonna move on.
No, but that's cool, man. Like, to be able to interview someone that, you know, wow.
You really like.
At least he knows.
Yeah, because like I really haven't really made it a secret. And I think if I like you, I like you. If I don't, I don't. I don't have the in-between. I wish I do. So one thing about myself, I don't say I don't like, but I'm like, if I could just pretend to like people. But I can't. So there are certain people I really like. And yeah, they know that I really like them. And there's certain people I'm just indifferent about. And I'm just like, Anyway, that's out of topic. So when you look at your life now, I don't know, do you have another question before I move on?
I would have to think long and hard.
Well, I'm going to ask you a last question. And if you have another question, you can ask me. And if you don't, we're good.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So what do you look forward to?
This in life or business or
general? It could be in your life. Like, what are your next steps? Anything?
Is there anything that I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to. I'll be honest. This has nothing to do with business, but like, I'm definitely looking forward to traveling more. I'm looking forward to seeing what the 2025 Nissan Patrol looks like in person. That's a car that I obsess over ridiculously. I'm looking forward to taking a break from business this year at some point for a good month or so. And just thinking about anything other than business. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to pursuing pursuing certain goals outside of anything to do with work or business. So stuff to do. I'm trying to become more consistent with my fitness goals. So I'm definitely looking forward to what the end of my regime will look like. But I hope I don't jinx myself. Let's see. Yeah.
Please give us that summer body.
I started early, so hoping. Yeah.
Good for the rest of us. You have winter, so you have a few months to come to. So yeah, you're good.
That's true.
Well, I like the stuff you're looking forward to, and one thing I love talking to business people is whenever I ask them what they're looking forward to, it has nothing to do with business. Like, we understand that. I'm like, no, I don't look forward to doing business.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, like, I don't have a choice.
I have no choice. That's my job. It's my passion, but why would I look forward to that again? I do it every day.
Yeah, for sure. Like, man, I think you'd have to be. It's one of those if you know situations, you know? Like,
if you're going to say, I look forward to business, I'm like, oh, wow, you really.
Yeah.
I know you love it, but that deep? Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah. It's such a joy to have had you here, Water. Do you want to say anything? Do you want to ask me a question? But I have enjoyed every minute. It's, very not how I expected it to go, and I love it.
I really, really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity to hopefully connect with, you know, at least one or two souls as part of your audiences, or part of your audience, okay. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that we get to speak because, you know, Zambia and Malawi are like...
You guys are an extension of Zambia.
I'm not sure about that. I think it's the other way around.
You're sure? You guys are tiny for you to say Zambia. Yes. You don't want Zambians to hear you just saying that we're an extension of Malawi.
Sure. No, but you know, we're brothers and sisters still, so...
No harm.
I literally a week ago or less, I was speaking with someone about prospectively visiting Zambia soon. So I don't know. I think that's really exciting that we got to speak, and it's like we're speaking to people that can resonate with what Malawi is to a certain extent. I appreciate all the interesting questions you came with. Very stimulating. Had me reflecting on part of the journey, and hopefully we can have a rerun in the future, in the near future, with more milestones to talk about.
Yeah, I really can't wait for that. That's something for me to look forward to. And hey, I love hosting people now. So when you ever decide to be in the country and I am around, hit me up.
Yeah, for sure.
We can and catch up and maybe do business because we are business people.
Yes, for sure. I'm not sure. I need to figure out what, you know, who the who's are in Zambia and stuff, so you can make the connections.
Oh, that's an easy is it though? Yeah. But that's a story for another day.
Okay. Lovely.
Well, Water, thank you so much again. And for everybody listening, I hope you found this as stimulating as we found it, interesting, and hope you learn a few stuff from Water. I think he dropped some gems for a young man, I think. So I couldn't get Water's age. So for the ladies, you all can't come for
me. Wow.
You can't come for me.
Do I have to disclose
it? No, fine. It's fine.
I don't mind though. I don't mind. I'm 25, 26.
Guys, and he said a business win.
I really don't mind. Yeah. Cool.
No, Water. I don't wanna. You know one thing about me? I keep talking. So we'll start asking about age, and I'll start writing down notes. So I really am better off keeping my mouth shut on this one. But thanks. Hey, he's 25, guys. So. Says a lot about us in our mid-20s. life choices. I hope you enjoy this. I know, very jovial at the end, but I hope you learn something, share it with a friend, and reach out to Water if you have any questions. Like he said, he'd like to connect with two souls from this episode. Please, the souls, reach out to him.
Right.
Thank you so much, and bye for now.